Welcome once again, fellow Biblical Explorer. In our last study together, we were looking at the aspects of unity. We discovered that there are four facts about unity, and we discussed the first two, namely the graces of unity and the grounds of unity. And the graces and grounds for unity have all been made possible by the riches of His grace. In the first part of this chapter, chapter 4 of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul is telling the Ephesian church of the many things that they all have in common. We discussed these in our last study. One body, one spirit, one hope of our calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father. Now, Paul here was emphasizing the common things in believers to try and teach these people about unity. This was all found in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 to 6. But now we come to verse 7. And that verse 7 starts off with that little three-letter word, but. The conjunctive but leads us right into another thought. Paul has moved from the unity of the whole to the thought of unity with many and varied parts. The shift here is from the unity of the whole to the parts that make up the whole, namely, the individual members. Well, let's read that together in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, all the way down to verse 16. Follow along with me. I'm going to be reading from the NIV version. It says this, "But to each one of us grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when He ascended on high, He took many captives and gave gifts to His people. What does He ascended mean, except that He also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip His people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." Paul here is discussing the variety and individuality within the unity of the Spirit. The church in and of itself is diverse in nature. Paul here is desiring that the church have unity, even in individuality and diversity. God has given every believer at least one spiritual gift, and we can find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 12, where it says, "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed,' and no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, and to another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers, to another, prophecy, to another, distinguishing between spirits, and to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. Just as a body through one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. So the Apostle Paul tells us that each believer has at least one spiritual gift, and this gift was to be used for the building up of the body of Christ. Paul was facing a real problem in this Ephesian church, the lack of unity. Each of the believers had their own spiritual gift, and they all thought that they were more important than the other. Paul had already faced this problem when he wrote to the believers at Corinth, and we just read about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Well, what is a spiritual gift anyway? Well, a spiritual gift is a God-given ability to serve God and other Christians in such a way that Christ is glorified and believers are edified and built up. John Brown, in his commentary on Ephesians chapter 4, says this: Paul begins to tell us that although we should do everything we can to keep the unity, that the Lord made us different and gave us all different gifts. He uses the quote from Psalm 68, verse 18, which says, "When you ascended on high, you took many captives. You received gifts from people, even from the rebellious, that you, the Lord God, might dwell there." Here, Paul takes a little detour. He feels like he needs to briefly explain Christ's ascension. In Ephesians 4, 9 and 10, he explains it this way. He ascended, well, what does that mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. John chapter 3, verse 13 says, "No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven." Paul now gets back to his original topic, the gifts that the Lord gave us out of his grace. Each is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. In this context, grace does not refer to saving grace, but rather to a special endowment. This is illustrated in Paul's mission to the Gentiles in chapter 3, verse 7. The law of bestowal is not only the variation in human abilities, but the pleasure of the sovereign God. Each of us gets the grace that Christ has to give. We each get it in the proportion in which Christ pleases to give it. Some people more, some people less, but always from the same hand and for the same purpose. The differences between us all are all in the divine plan of the Almighty. And in verse 8, Paul goes on to quote again from Psalm 68, verse 18, to express the idea that all these gifts are come from the ascended Lord. Well, what are the gifts that Paul is talking about here? Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Let's see if we can name them. Here we see apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Chuck Smith, in his commentary on this portion of Scripture, breaks the gifts down in this way: the gift of apostleship. There were many disciples of Jesus, and they numbered into the hundreds. From the many disciples, he chose 12 to be called apostles. Now, the word apostle literally means one sent forth. Thusly, Jesus is called in Hebrews the apostle of our faith. And Paul said that he was called to be an apostle. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 25, Paul speaks of Epaphroditus as being an apostle, or translated messenger in the King James. In Romans, Paul salutes Andronicus and Junia, who he declares are of note among the apostles. Now, if we stuck to the strict meaning of the word, I guess it would apply most closely to a missionary today. Now, in the early church, the requirements for apostleship seemed to be one who had been with Christ from his baptism, who was an eyewitness to his resurrection from the dead. It would also appear that he should also exercise the gift of miracles. Are not the works of an apostle wrought by me, Paul? Are there apostles today? In a true biblical sense, probably no. But in a real missionary sense, probably yes. These gifts that God gave the church are for the edification of every believer, to build us all up in unity. As we continue our study, O fellow biblical explorer, we will see that these gifts are given by the hand of Almighty God through the riches of His grace.